Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I have two guests tonight. One sitting next to me, my friend Russell Ziemba, and Lynn Jackson is on the phone. And both of them are here to discuss the event that's taking place at Glen Peter Jewelers on Monday evening from 5:30 to 7:30. It's going to be sponsored by Focus on Albany, and it's going to be a tribute to Regine Adams. So how I came up with the idea is Russell and I take, you know, bring soup to Regine once a week, and if there's an event, you know, we'll pick her up and take her to the event and drop her off. So for the Labor Day picnic, on the way home, I thought, God, wouldn't it be great to do a documentary about Regine? Because she's done so much in the community that she's got to be honored. She's going to be 92 in February. So, you know, I think it's time that the community that she's worked so hard for does some gives back a little bit. So, Lynn, You've known Regine for many years. You could tell some stories. Why don't you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much, Cynthia, for having me on your show. I've known Regine for more, well, 40 years, because I met her around a little after when Save the Pine Bush was formed. And Regine was just amazing with Save the Pine Bush. I mean, just amazing. Cooked all lasagna dinners, which is probably what she's the most famous for at Save the Pine Bush. You know, she cooked the dinners, you know, with lasagna, the vegetarian lasagna, and salad, and garlic bread, and desserts. And she did this every month for nearly 40 years. But what people may not realize is all the really cool stuff she did for Save the Pine Bush to with our lawsuits and our political stuff to advocate for Pine Bush preservation. And she did so much of that, just and she was very astute politically in terms of how you actually go about and change people's minds and work on these issues and how you approach politicians and things like that. Regine also was very involved in the anti-war movement for Vietnam and later with the Iraq War. And I always remember the time that she was arrested for sitting down on the intersection of Lark and Washington Avenue. And basically she sat down for 2 minutes and everyone there was arrested. But she was with a lot of young people. At the time she was probably in her 60s, or maybe 60s. And she didn't want all these young people to go to the jail without someone to help them out if they'd never been before. So she sat down with them. And I don't know how many people were arrested. A whole bunch of people were arrested. And when she added up, so they go to court, you know, to have the arraignment or whatever you do at court. And when she realized that most of the protesters were going to pay the fee, she added up in her head, you know, $200 times all these people sitting down the street, that the city would just get way too much money. So she told the judge, send her to jail. So she went to jail for about a week. And I remember my husband and I visiting her in the jail. And she was all dressed in one of her best sweatshirts, because she's known for her sweatshirts and stretch pants. And she was very happy. Of course, she knew that a lot of people in the jail had really serious issues, but for Regine, I almost think it was a vacation from the telephone and all the work she did. So, but she's an amazing woman. I could go on and on, but I'll let Russell tell some stories too.
Well, I first met Regine when I was a college student at Albany State in, I think, the fall of 74, maybe. I saw a poster around Center Square or Lark Street, something about a food collective. So it was the Dove Collective. So I joined, and one of the first people. I think hers was the contact number. So I talked to her, and then I went over to her house as part of the work I did. We compiled people's, I think we met once a month, compiled people's orders for food, and then people had to come meet the truck and break it down. So that's the first time I met Regen, and I was impressed by her, you know, a very pleasant person, organized, and older, too. You know, most of the people involved were baby boomers our age, and she was like 20 or 30 years older. So that made an impression on me. But, you know, after we were members of that collective, I would see her name in the paper or and I knew that she was involved with Save the Pine Bush in the Social Justice Center. She, for many years, had worked at the store there. Peace Offerings, I believe, was the name of it. And so I became involved with Save the Pine Bush back, I don't know, 30 years ago, back in 1988. And I remember the Democratic primary during that we were at. We were meeting in the basement of, I think, where we meet now, actually. I think it was the same spot we meet now at Westminster Church.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Oh, I totally
remember
I
reconnected
that kind of thing.
Yeah, I reconnected with her back then, and you know, she's always been an inspirational person to me. She did a show for many years on WRPI, and I would run into her. We'd both be walking up the hill. She didn't have a car, and for the last several years, I haven't had a car either. Or I'd be walking around anyway, and I'd run into her, and she'd be walking up the hill to WRPI, which is up, it's like 300 feet up the hill to the radio station. So she did that often, and that's a good hike up the hill. I took a video of her maybe 10 years doing that, caught her walking up the hill, and, you know, she'd, you know, take the bus over from Albany and all kinds of weather in the winter, crummy weather, walk up that steep hill, College Avenue, all the way to WRPI. So, you know, even back then, I asked her, well, how many miles do you do a week, Regen? So she was walking 10 miles a week back then, which that's a lot, you know, for somebody in their 80s.
Wow.
So, I mean, she's, I'm, you know, interested in a lot of things, too, and part of the peace movement. I think I recall her during the early 90s being involved trying to stop the NATO bombings in Yugoslavia. There were protests out in front of the Washington Avenue Armory. I think Regen was part of it. Pat Beadle, Liz Pearson, you know, a number of people, Greens, Mark Dunley.
So, Lynn, she was not particularly fond of Erastus Corning, am I correct?
Yes, I would say you are correct. So she told me several stories about her and Erastus Corning. And for people who don't know who Erastus Corning was, he was the mayor of the city of Albany for 42 years. Okay, remember that, 42 years he was the mayor of the city. And he had a stranglehold on the city. Albany had a political machine that rivaled the one in Chicago. And she was first elected as a committeeman in the late 60s. And she told me that she collected signatures, like what you're supposed to do to become a committee person. She could be on the ballot and get voted for. And in the late 60s, you know, you didn't have copiers like we have today. And she was going to take her petitions down and file them. And someone suggested that she really needed to make a copy of the petitions to prove that she actually had the petitions with the signatures on it. And she called a photographer, came down and took photographs of the petitions so that she could prove that she actually filed these petitions. And they did accept the petitions, and she was on the ballot and she did win. The photographer never was able to find the photographs again of the petition, but she did become a committee woman. She was a committee woman for probably about 50 years. And in the late 70s, I also became a committee woman. So, and I had a little Volkswagen Bug at the time. And I remember going out to one of the committee meetings. So the Albany County Democrats used to meet at the Polish Community Center out in the Pine Bush on Wash Avenue Extension. And about,
I think
about, yeah, they still do, right? Same place. I think around 2,000 people go to these meetings, I think, something like that. It's huge, huge. But the meetings back in the day when Erastus Corning was mayor were very, very short, okay? Very short. So I remember the two of us going out, and here we are sitting in the sea of committee men because there were very, very few women involved, and very few. So we were unusual in that we were women, and we were clearly dissidents. We were not part of the political machine. And I remember sitting there, and the chair of the meeting was just real fast, and he would say, and I think it might have been Erastus Corning. I'm not 100% sure of that. It might have been, I don't think it could have been Dan O'Connell because I think he had died by then. Anyway, the chair would say, you know, so-and-so for this political position, all in favor, and the whole room would erupt in this huge eye. And Regin and I would sit there with our two little voices and go, and we lifted our arms in the air, and we went, no! It was basically 1,000 committee men, and then the two of us, no! It was really something. The meeting was over in about 5 minutes. It took about 5 minutes. And the rest of the night was drinking and smoking and, you know, people talking and stuff like that. Now, one of the stories, I have to tell you another story. Another story she told me is that, I don't know what Regin had been doing, but she clearly been doing something. And the fire hydrant on her street was removed. The fire hydrant was removed from her street. So she calls up the mayor. Now, back then, you could call City Hall, and the mayor might answer the phone, and he often did answer the phone at City Hall. So she calls up, and she says, Mr. Mayor, the fire hydrant was removed from my block, and you put the fire hydrant back. And he's like, oh, Mrs. Adams, I'm so sorry. There's nothing that can be done. And Regin says, look, think of the children on the block. You know, think of the people on the block. You know, this is a safety hazard. And Erastus Corning said, oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Adams. Nothing that can be done. And I don't know when they put the fire hydrant back, but Corning, in retaliation for something that Regin did, took the fire hydrant away. Mm. And I just thought that's a crazy story.
Now, the one story, Linda, that I'm particularly interested in is the one where the city wanted to run the highway through Washington Park, and she put a stop to it. Tell us a little bit about that story.
So the city, when I arrived in Albany, there was exit off of Interstate 90 where it's now Henry Johnson Boulevard. But that exit said to the Empire State Plaza. And so I would get off that exit and I would be lost in Arbor Hill. And I couldn't understand why this exit, for years it said to the Empire State Plaza, because the Empire State Plaza is like a mile and a half from the exit through Arbor Hill and Center Square and Washington Park. So my understanding of the situation was that the city wanted to put in the Lark Dove arterial, and this would have just torn up all, you know, the middle of Center Square. It would have gone through the Washington Park, and it would be this huge, it would just destroy downtown. And I will admit,
they said they were
going to
run it under the park. They said they were going to run it under the park, but I don't see how they could do that without being very disruptive.
Oh, they would have been, terribly disruptive. I remember hearing about it when I was a student in the environmental forum at the State University of Albany, and people would joke and say, oh, yeah, they're going to run it underneath the park. They're going to pick up all those trees and carefully put them back where they are. I mean, it wouldn't be possible. The trees are these gorgeous, gorgeous, huge, old trees. No way you could dig those up and they would live. That's great. The whole idea was nuts. It was just nuts. And this vision that Rockefeller, Governor Rockefeller had for, you know, the Empire State Plaza, the whole thing was just was not good urban planning. But she told me that ultimately that people did protest and people were very concerned. But she said that ultimately what happened is that Trinity Church, which is that gorgeous stone church that's on, Hudson Avenue, Hamilton Street, I forgot one of those. And it goes all the way between Lark Street and Willett Street, and it's stone, and it's huge, and it's gorgeous. And they told the state DOT, sure, you can have our church. $10 million, you can have our church. Now, $10 million back in the 1970s was a lot of money. It was a lot of money. And when the state realized that just to do that one block between Lark Street and Willett would cost millions upon millions upon millions of dollars just to buy the land, they gave up on the project. But I'm sure Regin had a lot to do with it. She never told me all the details, but I am so glad that she prevailed in that instance, because it's so beautiful. You know, Washington Park is beautiful. That whole area of Center Square in Albany is just beautiful. But she did other things.
I think that story was covered. I think that story was covered in the Washington Park Spirit, and a lot of people in the Washington Park Spirit involved with that, the Spirit fought it, including John Walcott and, you know, a lot of the folks around then. And there's a, you know, what I really like is the U-turn that the highway makes there. when you go up through the plaza and then it does a U-turn and comes back out. I really like that. Mm-hmm. And I've been wanting to call it Regin's U-turn or Regin's 180, because it's so symbolic. And the highway got turned around, stopped and turned around, and you go back where you came from, and figure out another way to do it. You know, there aren't many places where highways have been stopped like that, but that one is a nice tribute. And I think it's an unnamed 180 and U-turn. Either the Washington Park or the Spirit 180 or Regin Adams U-turn or whatever. I think it would be nice to name it that.
Oh, what a great idea. Oh, I love that idea. It is very symbolic. I had not thought about that. It is extremely symbolic. You're absolutely right. Because it's like the highway got turned back on itself. That's really very symbolic. Oh. Yeah, because it is like people come in, you know, if you come on the highways on 787, and you come into Albany and you think, oh, and you see this massive Empire State Plaza, and it's all so surreal when you drive under. It's like a sci-fi movie or something. You drive under and you get all the way to the end, and then it's like, I got to do 10 miles an hour to go down this really, really tight U-turn. It's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
You're absolutely
uh-huh.
right. She did a lot.
So, you know, Russell are exchanging stories, and I'm sure there's a lot of people, you know, your age and maybe even older, who have tons of stories about Regin. And one of the things that I'd like to do is create a segment on Focus on Albany, specifically with stories about Regin Adams. And from the stories, maybe we could do something else. But, you know, since she's done so much for the community, I moved into Albany 10 years ago. I hear stories, but I don't know the full extent of them. So I think, you know, to do something, maybe as a community, get people involved, I think it's important to tell her whole story, because, you know, she's done a lot, and I think it's important, you know, to everybody in Albany, and it's important, I believe, to Regin and her family. So that's what I'd like to do. So,
I think your idea of telling Regin's story is really important. I'm really happy that there is going to be the fundraiser to raise money to do a project on Regin's life, so that more people can know all the aspects of what she really did. I mean, people really have no idea about how many stories there are about Regin Adams. I think this really came home to me when her husband, Ted Adams, passed away in 2011. and Regin had a memorial service for him at the church where we have our Pine Bush dinners. And the church was, there were a lot of people, hundreds of people there. He was 89 years old, and yet hundreds of people came. And people told stories about Regin and Ted that I had never heard before. I had no idea that they would go and, like, you know, if a couple in the neighborhood, like one of the stories one of the people told was that this couple had a child, and the child was fussing and crying and crying and crying, and that Reggie and Ted just went over to their house because they could hear the child crying, went over to the couple's house and said, well, you know, we're here to help you babysit the child. We're here to help. And that kind of thing, to help out other people in the neighborhood just on that really simple level, was incredible. You know, she funded Save the Pine Bush for decades with her Pine Bush Daycare Center. So she babysat, like, the children of all the activists and the, you know, the progressive
Dan
politicians.
Platt.
Yeah, Dan Platt, who ran for county executive a couple years ago. She babysat all these children of all these people, mm-hmm. and she had quite an involved, you know, daycare center, and it was wonderful. All these, there's a photo that was taken of she had these two little girls, and Regin always, because Regin never owned a car, she had a little shopping cart, and the two little girls are maybe 3 years old, and they're standing in the shopping cart, this little cart, and she's rolling down the sidewalk with them. Oh, it's the most adorable photograph. And it's just, the things that she did were just amazing. I mean, she did little things. Like, one of the things that she did that I often forget about is, for years, she would sell pecans, you know, the nuts. And you say, well, what difference does that make that she sold pecans? But these pecans came from, I believe, Georgia, and there was some group that dealt with civil rights or justice in terms of, you know, people who were oppressed because of their race. And she would, this little tiny group, one of their fundraisers every year was to sell these different kinds of pecans. And so she would go, like, to different, like, if she was famous for going to coffee hour at the local churches. So, like, she would go to the Unitarian Church here in Albany and sell pecans during coffee hour and stuff like that and take orders for them. And she did it for years. And it's like all this work for this little group out in Georgia. And I just thought, well, that's so cool, because it has to do with, you know, peace and justice. And she taught me a lot about protests. And we went to a couple of protests. We protested Bush I's first inauguration. Regin and I went to that. It was cold. And we went to the first big protest in Washington on the Iraq War in 2003, 2 months before the war started. And it was bitter cold. It never got above 24 degrees the whole day. And we stood for a couple hours on the mall in Washington, D.C. And, you know, back in the day, the two of us were the same height. Well, she shrunk a little bit. So she's a lot smaller than me now. And I had a knapsack. And basically, there were so many people there, you could barely move on the mall. There were just thousands, tens of thousands, 100,000 people there. And I remember we kind of, like, I could kind of push through the mall, and she would cling to my knapsack as we sort of moved through all the people, and we spent all day walking in Washington. It was quite an amazing day. And we haven't even started to talk about her work with the the U.S. China People's Friendship Association. Because if we remember our history back in the day, you know, when I went to high school, told that, oh, that big piece of land out there in Asia, China, that doesn't exist. You know, the U.S. only has relations, you know, diplomatic relations with Taiwan. But Regin, before Nixon went to China, you know, she and people started this organization where they would talk to people in China. And it was just an incredible effort at peace and justice and, you know, making the world better. And she went to China several times.
Three times, I believe.
Yeah, three times. I think you're right. I think it was three times. And just amazing stuff like that.
No,
So she's done so much, and we haven't even talked about the pine bush.
The last time she was stranded out there on September 11th, she was out there September 11th, 2001, when the attacks on the towers in New York happened, and so she was stranded in Beijing for 3 days, I think.
Yes, I remember that because she was supposed to come back to the United States the morning of September 11th, and she told me that in her hotel room, she wakes up in the morning, she turns on the TV. Now, Russian does not speak any Chinese. And she said, I couldn't understand why they kept playing this horror movie over and over again of planes running into the Twin Towers. Like, she didn't understand what was going on. And fortunately, there were some other people at the hotel who spoke English, and they told her what had happened. And the really interesting part, of course, that's a long time ago. The really interesting part was that she remembered my email address. And so her interpreter, she had this wonderful interpreter. She told the interpreter my email address, and her interpreter emailed me because the Regin wanted to tell Ted that she, her husband Ted, that she was okay and to keep in touch. And so it was really interesting for me because I got to email the interpreter, and we kept up a correspondence for about a year or so afterwards. And it was so interesting. So, yeah, that was quite something.
So both of you, both you and Russell have stories, and I'm sure there's lots of people who are listening have stories. So what I'd like to do is form a nucleus of people to figure out how best to get this information, you know, either through websites, a documentary, whatever. I think it's important, you know, that somebody who's done all this, her story has to be told. So if you have something that you want to share and you can't come Monday, please email me at CynthiaPooler@hotmail.com. But for all of you who can come, the event is going to be at Glenn Peter Jewelers, 1544 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, which is really Colony. And it's going to be from 5:30 to 7:30. There's a suggested donation of $20. There's going to be raffles, and there's food will be provided by Glenn Peter Jewelers. So come out. Paul Grundle is going to be there. He's going to be the speaker. So it's going to be a really nice event.
The suggested donation is $20, but no one will be turned away.
Correct. So, Lynn, do you have any final thoughts?
Oh, I think Regin is a phenomenal person, and we need to tell her story. If people want to meet Regin, they could come to our Save the Pine Bush dinner, which is going to be tomorrow night, November 14th, 2018, 6 o'clock at Westminster Presbyterian Church, 85 Chestnut Street. Dinner's only $12 for adults, $6 for students, and Regin will be there. And if people, and I also hope that everyone's going to come on Monday to the event at Glenn Peters, because I think to understand her story, because she did so many different things. I mean, we didn't even talk about her and her infamous mimeograph machine in her basement. And I feel like we need to get all these stories out and how she really changed what Albany looks like. She changed the shape, you know, the physical shape of Albany by stopping the highway and by, of course, all the work she did with Save the Pine Bush, which stopped the suburbanization of Albany. And I just think that people should know more about what she did and all the risks that she took, you know, putting up her house when people got arrested for, you know, protesting and things like that. I mean, she did all kinds of really cool things. So I hope more people remember stories and share them.
So on the 16th, which is this coming Friday, there's going to Mary Paley did a movie about her father, who was a photographer for the Times Union, and Regine has a big part in the movie. So that's the 16th. That'll be at Page Hall from 7 to 9 p.m., and then Monday is the event that Focus on Albany is going to sponsor at Glenn Peter Jewelers. So if you can't come, email me, Cynthia Pooler at hotmail.com. But, you know, if you have a story, I think it's, you know, it's appropriate at this point in her life, people to start telling stories. I think she'll really like that. So you guys have anything in closing that you want to say?
This is a very exciting project. Regine's an inspiration for me, and I hope we can involve a lot of people and get some good stories and have some fun and do a good job.
Lynn?
I totally agree with Russell. I think this is a fabulous project, and, of course, we're going to meet all kinds of interesting people because that's who Regine knew, is all these interesting people with interesting ideas and interesting projects. And I just think this is a wonderful idea, and I really hope that it takes off and lots of people will come.
Okay, so that's Monday, November 19th, from 5:30 to 7:30 at Glenn Peter Jewelers on Central Avenue in Albany. So thanks, Lynn. Thanks, Russell. I'm sorry. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. And we hope to see everybody listening on Monday night at Glenn Peters to honor Regine Adams. Thank you. Thank you, guys, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day. Evening.